WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
Jobs, 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 jobs. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and my job, hosting this podcast, of course, this is Reset. The U.S. economy added more jobs in November, 277,000 of them, in fact. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate ticked up ever so slightly. Overall, the economy is pretty healthy. No major red flags, no looming recession, thank goodness. But some Americans, they're still concerned. To help us make sense of the numbers and how people feel about them, I spoke with Diane Swonk, chief economist at KPMG. Here's Diane explaining her biggest takeaway from the latest jobs report.
What we saw was the bounce back from everything from a strike in the aerospace industry to storms, the two monster storms, Helene and Milton, that hit and disrupted a lot of employment in the month of October. And so the good news is we saw a bounce back. The three-month moving average picked up again, but gains have been really dominated. 70% of all net new job gains since June of 2023 have come from only three sectors, and that is healthcare and social assistance, which includes childcare, leisure and hospitality, and state and local government spending. That's important because those three legs have been the support and the least interest rate sensitive sectors that have held the economy up in terms of the employment situation for much of the last year and a half and continue to dominate gains in the month of November, even though we had these sort of recovery from strike and storm. So the good news is we continue to generate a lot of jobs. Hours worked actually picked up a little bit after being disrupted. What I am worried about are the disruptions that we're seeing, though, that are longer term. Over the last 4 months, we've seen participation among women, mostly prime age women, in the labor force come off its record highs. And that's important because what we're seeing is many more disruptions due to childcare and daycare needs. And this has been something that is in a crisis, the care economy overall is in a crisis. And that's something that is continuing to hit many households, especially working parents who are trying to make ends meet in this economy.
So can you just explain this for the layman? How can the unemployment rate rise when the economy adds hundreds of thousands of jobs?
It's a great question. And the issue is there are two different surveys, first of all. And so in any given month, they might not capture the same things. The unemployment rate is measured by the household survey and the establishment survey that counts the number of jobs net on any given month. That's where we get the job gains from. In general, we need over about 150,000 jobs each month to keep the unemployment rate stable. That may have actually changed with productivity improvements over the last year. But at the end of the day, it's important to remember that we have seen job gains slow pretty dramatically from that red hot pace we saw at the beginning of reopening 2 years ago. And as the job gains have sort of started to settle down, we've seen the demand of workers more in line with the supply of workers. Now, average hourly earnings are still running well above where they were pre-pandemic, which is good, but you need that over a very long period of time to recoup what was lost to the surge, of course, in inflation.
For years now, the Federal Reserve's been seeking a so-called soft landing, where we get inflation in check without causing a recession. Are these numbers just one more signal that we are landing softly?
the moment, yes, they are. What's worrisome is we're going to get yet another round of inflation data this week, and it's likely to show that inflation has gotten stickier. We've seen inflation sort of settle down, underlying inflation, overall inflation on the CPI, sort of settle down in the 2.5 to 2.75% range. But service sector inflation, the underlying inflation, which has been stickier in general, looks like it might have reaccelerated in recent months. And that's going to be key to determining whether or not the Fed continues to cut rates at its December meeting, which is now, we're in the blackout period for, which is now just a week and a half away. Mm. Our own bet is that it's about a flip of a coin, and that the Fed might not only skip the December cut, it may decide to move back to the sidelines a bit to in order to allow inflation to continue to cool, especially as we move into the next year, given the stickier inflation that we're seeing in the service sector. And anyone who's been on the roads or out to O'Hare, you know how many people are certainly travel and tourism and how much that has come back recently.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. Inspire change. Shape the future.
As well.
We spoke with Chicago Fed Chair Austin Goolsbee after one of the Fed's recent interest cut rates. We talked quite a bit in that conversation about the economic vibes. Even if the economy is performing fairly well, Diane, people don't always feel like it's working for them. What do you make of that disconnect?
I think that's a really important disconnect, and it's something that we don't have any muscle memory. We've not had inflation like the kind we had coming out of the pandemic for decades. You know, the Federal Reserve is on one side of the equation looking at the pace of increase of prices, where a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, the level of prices are still way above where they were in 2019 before we got into the pandemic. And even though my wages have come on up, you know, let's face it, you know, wages were stagnating for the better part of two decades. And so they needed to see that acceleration in wages. They just didn't want to see the heat that came with it. And it really takes a long time to regain what was lost in an economy where so many things that are so important cost so much more, like housing and shelter and the insurance just to buy a home. Even if you are able to get into the door and buy a first-time home, you're still frozen out by affordability, which a lot of factors have pushed to record lows, despite the fact that interest rates are not at a record high.
Yeah, well, all of this is why, you know, we would agree that the economy was the top issue in the presidential race. So as the Trump administration begins to implement its economic policies, Diane, what are you keeping an eye on?
Well, what we're watching most is, you know, the sequencing of what they intend to do. The issues on tariffs and curbs on immigration, much of the soft landing scenario, which the Fed itself has leaned into, was due to not only us having this surge in job demand, but also we had a surge in supply related to an influx of immigration. As you slow that down, the balance between demand and supply in the labor market could be less in balance, and that could undermine the soft landing scenario that the Fed has really relied on so far. And so that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is, you know, tariffs are inflationary. It's something the Fed will not front run the administration on any increases in tariffs, because until we see them, until we see the scope of what they're actually talking about and whether or not they go through with all of their promises, because what a campaign promises on the campaign trail can be very large and lag what a candidate actually does in practice. We don't know how much of this is negotiating issues, but nonetheless, if they were to move on tariffs in a big way, that along with curbs in immigration tend to both stoke inflation and stem growth. And that's a much harder position for the Federal Reserve to be in. And in fact, we saw consumers really reflect that in the first initial read of the Consumer Sentiment Index that came out on Friday for the month of December. We saw the largest improvement in buying conditions for big ticket items we have seen in ages, and the highest consumer sentiment figure since April of 2024, as consumers rushed to buy big ticket items ahead of what they said were feared increases due to the increase in tariffs next year. Now, that kind of movement and behavior, that vibe is actually the exact opposite of what the Federal Reserve wants, because it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? The more you spur demand today and buy ahead of prices is a more that price hikes is a more that we're not actually in an environment that's price stability.
We're also seeing more people out of work for longer periods. According to the report, more than 1.6 million people had been searching for a job for more than 26 weeks. That's the highest in nearly 3 years. What's driving that trend?
We are watching that part of it very closely because we do worry that the longer it takes, it's still not dramatically out of line with where we were pre-pandemic, which was still a very tight labor market, although it is starting to move up. And we don't want to keep moving up in those areas because that would derail the soft landing scenario.
We've been speaking with Diane Swonk, chief economist at the audit, tax and advisory firm KPMG. Thank you so much for breaking this down for us, Diane.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Dan Tucker, and mixed by Ari Mejia. You can support the work we do on Reset by liking and subscribing to our podcast. We drop new episodes every weekday, with a special one on Saturday. You can also sign up for our newsletter. Head to wbez.org/resetnews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening.
Love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.